spoke to a council person who says Robert Sarver says that they are thinking or they will potentially go to Vegas or Seattle if they don't get the renovation. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I was told by a city council person. And in talking to other members to hear if they'd heard those same things, they said, well, we don't necessarily take it as a threat, but certainly he has laid out his options.
Thanks to our sister station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, Pamela Hughes, Bruce St. James, they had Lori Roberts, the columnist, on from the Arizona Republic and AZ Central about what she wrote yesterday that has, well, exploded all over Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people around the NBA nationwide talking about what was written yesterday about the reports Robert Sarver threatened to move if he doesn't get his way in terms of renovations for Talking Stick Resort Arena. And that's where we stand right now. There's really nothing else to report other than the vote was delayed yesterday. It was late on the docket for the city council meeting, but late yesterday afternoon, the vote was unanimous to push that the city council vote back to January 23rd on whether or not renovations for Talking Stick Resort Arena would go through.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of vitriol. I understand a lot of it. And many people have feelings. We've heard from a lot on Twitter. Wanted to open up the phone lines at least for a short segment today to hear some of the thoughts of Suns fans out there. Let's start here on Bickley and Murata with Bob in Mesa. Bob, what's up? You're on.
You guys are clear. This is my feelings. I think they should take the Coliseum at the fairgrounds, demolish that.
Put
Bob on hold. Let's go somewhere else.
All right, let's go to Eugene, Oregon, and talk to Jeff here on Bickley and Murata. Hey, Jeff.
Wouldn't it be funny if that was all he wanted to say? Just demolish the Coliseum. Well, goodbye.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys. I love the show.
Thanks.
I've been a Suns fan for probably, 30 years. I used to watch, every televised game. In a sense, I kind of feel like this team's already been taken from us. It doesn't feel like the Phoenix Suns anymore. It feels like Sarver Suns. Can't really watch games anymore because there's I think for this season, there's been probably about four or five watchable games. The other ones have been pretty horrendous. And so it just kind of feels like, even though I think it's a fair deal, the principle of paying Sarver to go with a crap product is a little bit hard to stomach.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel the way you do, Jeff, and appreciate the phone call from Oregon. But again, I always say this, and I've become more logical as I've gotten older. Many will argue with that, but consider the alternative.
Yeah.
Do you want a basketball? I mean, it just comes to the point of whether or not you want a basketball team in your hometown. I'm there, and I never won't be there. I never want to see Phoenix, Arizona without an NBA franchise.
But again, you're assuming that if Robert Sarver doesn't get these renovations, that he's going to take the team and move. There's a process here.
There is a process.
And,
but again,
and I don't
there's,
think that
there's,
process is going to work
there's
for him.
Plenty of there's plenty of examples, right, again, of unpopular owners who have gotten their way.
Yeah, but none that have purchased the franchise from a revered NBA guy who is part and parcel with the league, who built Phoenix from the ground up into an NBA city with the fourth best winning percentage. They're not going to let him do it. I'm not buying it. And I believe on some level, the city council would be wise to call his bluff. But I'm not there because I want the basketball team here as well. I get why I'm as mad as anybody else because I just don't like the sense of entitlement here that you bought something from somebody who built it way up here. You've taken it down more than one notch while getting filthy rich on it. And now you're threatening to take it elsewhere if you don't get more.
Reportedly.
Okay. I've worked with Lori Roberts. She doesn't make stuff up. Okay.
I'm not saying she did.
Are you saying the council person made
I'm
it?
I'm just...
Okay. Okay, fine.
There's three levels of it.
All right, fine.
And I'm not saying that happened either.
Then why didn't that come out yesterday? Then why didn't they come out and say, that council member made that up? Why didn't they say that? Why didn't Robert Sarver come out and refute this? Why did Jason Rowley have to do it?
I think that's a great question, honestly. And yeah, I asked that same question yesterday.
And to me, it's I get the partnership and the value to both, Vinny. I get that it's not as easy as saying, well, the franchise is worth $1.3 billion. Now you pay for it. The franchise is worth $1.3 billion. You don't monetize it until you sell it. So you can't monetize $230 million in repairs based on equity. Okay? I get that. So I get there's benefit for both sides, and I would vote for this. But I don't want 9 more years of this garbage.
No.
And I don't think anybody
does.
Else does.
No. Xavier in Phoenix, you're up next here on Bickley and Murata. What's up, Xavier?
Okay. Yeah, I have a lot to say, so bear with me. But just yesterday was the straw that broke the camel's back, man. That Sarver has essentially taken something that was of such value to the Suns fans. I grew up with the Suns. From a little kid all the way to now, I've seen that product to be at its highest peak when they had a playoff team. We were in the playoffs every year. We were always a contender. To see this guy do what he's done to the Suns, it's almost like you can't even take it anymore, man. It's like, what do you got to do in order to get this product back to its value again? Because the guy has essentially devalued the product. I agree with what Gambo said. The NBA needs to step in, come in here, totally revamp the whole infrastructure, rebuild this Suns back up to what it used to be. And if you want a chant, here's your chant. Sell Suns, Sarver, please.
All right, Xavier, thanks for the phone call. I think it was Kent Summers had I believe this when I read it. I agreed with it. Robert Sarver wants to win. I don't think you can get to the point in life where he has gotten to be able to own an NBA franchise without having that competitive streak. It's just there's a knowledge in when it comes to winning. And when he took over this team, they were in a pretty good space, competitively speaking. They had good players, good coaches. They were coming off a run of success. And they continued that success. But since that time has ended, and you can...
But he inherited it, right? He inherited that franchise. He inherited that playoff team.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And we thank you for the call, Xavier, again. I lost my train of thought. When you get to a certain point, I believe you have the desire to win. You might not have the know-how to win.
Okay,
Steve Nash's exit kind of marked that era.
Okay, look, I'm long past this looking for silver linings. I'm long past this. Okay, but he wants to win. Why the kid gloves? I'm past this. It's been 9 years, Vinny. Okay, yes, of course he wants to win. I've seen him courtside. I've seen his foam finger.
Not in a while.
Okay, but wanting to win and really trying to win, two different things. Okay. You can sit here and defend Robert Sarver. Oh, he's not cheap. He spent a lot of money. It doesn't matter. When you keep making the same mistakes over and over again, and you should know better,
that's
then
valid.
You've got to own that.
That's valid. 602-260-9870 is the phone number. Joe in Phoenix, you're up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hey, Joe.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. You know, I think that this is just another distraction, like the Valley sports teams, and I think we should put the money into the team, start stacking the team, the fans will come. You know, once we get a winning team, everybody will start showing up. Don't worry about the arena so much and just focus on the team.
Joe, thanks for the phone call. I mean, if it was only that easy. What is good players?
Well, no offense, Joe, but you really wanted to call in to say that?
And again,
I'm not trying to ridicule the listener, but what does that have to do with what we're talking about?
To expand on his point, maybe to put words in his mouth, but to the common fan, do they look at the Suns arena and think, oh, this is awful, they need a new arena or they should leave town?
No.
So maybe that's what he's saying is, like, fans will come to this arena, it's fine, don't worry about the arena,
right.
Just get a winning team.
Okay.
Well,
pretend he said all that.
Maybe.
Look,
well, and Jarrett asked me that question in show prep today. Is their arena that bad? And I said, well, you know what? I don't know. I haven't been to another NBA arena in quite some time. I don't know what's going on elsewhere. This is the fifth oldest arena. Oracle Arena, the oldest, will be replaced next year. This will move up to number 4 on the list. There's been massive improvements. If you see what America West Arena looked like in 1992, it does look like a different arena, but it's still obsolete. It just is. That's the nature of venues. And if you want to get into the pro sports business, this is kind of what you have to deal with, either from a private money standpoint or a public money standpoint.
Yeah. I think the deal on paper, renovation standards, this is not a bad deal. This is a good partnership to keep going.
But do you
think... But not under these terms.
And do you think that ratio works?
Yeah, I do.
Even with the Suns putting in less than the city?
Yes, I do.
But don't you think the ratio would, the amount of support could potentially rise if that ratio were to even out?
I don't think that's the issue right now. I don't think this.
Oh, I don't think so either.
I don't think this is about percentages and dollar signs.
But I think they need to do everything to help.
Anger and having, I'm going to take this team elsewhere thrown in our face. I think that's what's got me mad. Okay, because this Suns. And I've said this so many times. The Suns are special in the Valley, right? We've said this for years. Why are they special? Because they are. Because they're our first franchise.
Yeah, and okay? They were way ahead of the growth curve in Phoenix.
Way ahead. They're part. They're the foundation of our entire sports story. He doesn't own that. He owns the basketball team. Mm-hmm. And being held hostage against my own passion ticks me off. That's what ticks me off. Don't use my own passion for the basketball team against me. That's what I don't like, because he doesn't deserve to do that. Just because he's wealthy? Forget that.
Yeah. Tony in Scottsdale, you're up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for having me on.
Yep.
Just a quick aside on the stadium. You know, he occupies it 41 nights a year, plus practice before and after. So I've got no problem with how they're financing it, because Fleetwood Mac's not coming here if their only choice is Comerica Theater or the State Farm Arena. So we need that facility. It's worth making the investment. What bothers me is that you don't have to look any further than look at the team that the Diamondbacks traded Paul Goldschmidt to, where the St. Louis Cardinals are a community asset and treated as such by the new ownership. And what bothers me is Bob Sarver fails to recognize that, as you pointed out, Bickley, the Phoenix Suns are the foundation of the sports fabric here. They're a community asset. So it's more than just ownership. It's stewardship.
Yeah.
And he has failed on all points. And the thing is, you know, I get that sometimes you're in NBA purgatory. I'm happy to go watch what's essentially a senior-lated college team that's playing for competent ownership, okay? But to try to go see a team that, for all intents and purposes, ownership is extorting and also invented the co-interim GM post, which I've never heard of. That's the issue, is that we have an owner who's absent, you know, in his mind and in his heart, okay, and is looking at this too starkly. And I somewhat put this at the feet of Jerry Colangelo for failing to recognize that he was passing the torch of stewardship. And I'd be interested to get your comments on that.
Yeah, I would say that at the time, I don't think anybody had any clue what we were in for in terms of this ownership. I've seen Robert Sarver be very charismatic. I've seen him be self-deprecating. I've seen him show a lot of characteristics that would make you go, yeah, cool, I'm glad he's repping us, okay? But it's, like I said before, I just don't know what the explanation is for just the petulance and the inability to stay committed to a plan and the inability to let other people do their jobs. You know what I mean? Robert Sarver's not a basketball expert. He never was. He never will be.
But you've heard people say that everybody who gets into that position of owning a team believes they are an expert.
Yeah.
And unique to him.
Look, it's people who become absurdly wealthy, all right, think that they know everything. They mistake money for intelligence. It's very common. And look, if you and I became multimillionaires, we might do the same thing. We already think we know everything. Could you imagine us with $100 million in the bank? That's the problem. And then you grow to such power that everybody kowtows to you, caters to you, is afraid of you, is afraid of your petulance, how you might react,
mm-hmm.
who you might fire next. And you create a real bad culture.
Yeah.
I'm fine with this.
Yeah.
I am fine with the shared partnership of giving the Suns money to help build this building into something bigger and better. I'm cool with that.
It could be a very interesting
night.
But
this presentation's awful.
It could be a very interesting night tonight at the arena.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that. Join Burns and Gambo along with Cheez-It starting at 2 p.m. live from the Safeway, northeast corner of Ironwood and Ocotillo in Queen Creek. They'll be giving you the chance to win tickets to the Cheez-It Bowl December 26th at Chase Field. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details. You laughing at me?
Yeah, I am. You know, Whiskey's Quicker does a version of this song, Vinny. Hungry Like the Wolf. Man, you are so shameless, Bickley.
My band does a version of it, too. What was the band name I came up with earlier today?
Proxy
something?
Something by Proxy. Yeah.
Proxy Wednesday.
Proxy Wednesday. Yeah. I like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're gonna do an even rockier version of Hungry Like the Wolf. How about that?
How about that? Catch me outside. How about that?
Oh, man. If I could only pull back the curtains of today's show.
Uh-huh. Right. No, and again, I'm looking at this basketball game tonight is interesting. I'm looking at something here at the crowd and what happens with the crowd tonight. Will there really be solidarity? Will the owner be in the building? I'm guessing this probably wouldn't be a bad one for him to tap out of.
He's at most games.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But, I mean, the guys on the floor tonight can go, it's obviously not going to patch everything up, but the frustration is growing with the on-court product.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was where the frustration was until yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, temporarily been diverted to another avenue. But
I would like
if you can win a nationally televised showdown between two rookies and mm-hmm. look, the pieces are different. I know Devin Booker's not going to play tonight, but if the Suns can get over on the Mavericks, who are a pretty good basketball team right now, 15-11, it could put a stay on things. Then if Saturday rolls around, if James Jones can swing a trade for Trevor Ariza,
uh-huh.
something palatable to Suns fans, you start moving in the right direction, as temporary as it might be.
Yeah.
And you got to root for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And you know how I feel about this. This Trevor Ariza trade, I want to be inspired by it. I want to see something from James Jones that validates what Robert Sarver sees in him. But I'm suspicious because Robert Sarver once raved about Lance Blanks. Raved about him.
Mm-hmm.
He once hired Lon Babbie. Lon Babbie rose to fame as a defense attorney defending the man who shot John Lennon, Mark David Chapman. What did he know about basketball? And Lon's a nice guy.
You're thinking it's John Hinckley.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get all those serial killers messed up.
John Hinckley didn't kill anybody.
He shot President Reagan. That's right. I'm sorry.
Failed assassination.
My fault. So you didn't represent the guy who killed John Lennon. You represent the guy who tried to shoot Ronald Reagan, or who did shoot Ronald
Reagan. Tried to kill him.
Right, tried to kill him.
I was in fourth grade when that happened.
Jeez.
See how discombobulated we are?
And again, I don't want to, I'm not trying to pile on here. I'm just trying to understand how we are still in this position. That's all. That's all. And these are fair questions to ask. I'm telling you, all of this stuff, all of this anger that sprouted out of this Lori Roberts report yesterday wouldn't happen if people didn't doubt the intelligence of Robert Sarver to do right by them. We all know Robert Sarver's fine at doing right by himself. How about doing right by us? How about that? How about that? Because this is a community asset. This is a basketball franchise that operates on the goodwill of the community, the passion of the community, and they have had more patience than they deserve over the last 3 years. We stood up and cheered the timeline. I mean, give me a break.
Not all of us.
Okay.
So do you think that the proposed demonstrations, chants, protests tonight at the game will have any actual residual impact?
I think, first of all, you have to ask yourself, how many people across America are going to watch the Mavericks and the Suns? Maybe Ayton, Doncic, maybe a little bit of
starting at 10:30 p.m. Eastern.
I mean, it's not going to be a big audience.
But I believe...
The presence of those two players will help. Go ahead, Vic.
But I do believe that Adam Silver is aware of what's going on here. Of course he is. And this is embarrassing to the product. This is embarrassing to the league to have organized protesting in the stands of a Suns game on national television. Okay?
It's being organized. I saw it with my own two eyes.
Okay.
On what's being proposed.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, the jump right now. Seattle or Las Vegas, realistic options for the Suns? No. Get your own basketball team. That's what makes me mad. We shouldn't have to deal with this garbage. This should never be thrown out there. You can't ask a city to partner with you in good faith while threatening to relocate. It doesn't work. How does Robert Sarver go back? How does this council now regroup? Now that one of them has come clean about what Robert Sarver's intentions were, or what he said, what he reportedly said.
Look, there's a couple of ways you could go. If the threat happened, you could take the threat as, okay, this guy means business. Maybe we need to look a little bit deeper into the benefits of having an NBA franchise in downtown Phoenix. They could say, all right, let's see what he does. Let's call his bluff. Look, or they could just say, no, we're voting no on this.
Robert Sarver, from what I can understand, has not done an interview with anyone not named Gambo in a long time. Okay? It would behoove him to step out, come out, and say, I didn't say that. Okay? No offense. I don't know what that guy heard or that person heard. I didn't say it. I would never move this team. Let him say it. Not Jason Rowley. Robert Sarver. Take this threat off the table.
Well, that was one of the reactions I had yesterday with after the report from Lori Roberts and AZ Central and the Arizona Republic. And I know Jason Rowley is very much a spokesperson for what goes on with the Phoenix Suns in his position.
Jason's a very competent guy.
Yes, he is.
Smart, competent guy.
But those words were not his.
No.
It came off yesterday, quite honestly, as damage control instead of from the source.
That's right.
Where I think it needed to come from.
I'm so with you.
And I don't think we would have, if that had occurred yesterday or this morning before we went on the air, I think a lot of people would have cooled off, but it didn't happen. And that's where we are. All right, coming up next, the college football playoff is still set at 4 teams. But there are some college football decision makers that don't want to wait another 6 years to make it 8. We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
All right, before we move on to college football, a couple last items on the Phoenix Suns.
College football.
According to Dwayne Ray, no, I'm sorry, this is reported via the Los Angeles Times. Okay. LA Times reported this morning, Lakers will not part ways with Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, or Kyle Kuzma in exchange for Trevor Ariza. Phoenix reportedly tried to acquire one of those players and also rejected a 3-team deal involving the Lakers. So what is the point of doing that favor for LeBron James if you can't get one of these players you want out of Los Angeles?
I mean, giving up one of those guys would be more than a favor.
Well,
Contavious Caldwell Pope.
No, hello. Thank you.
Saw a 3-way deal proposed. Contavious Caldwell Pope to the Sixers, Trevor Ariza to the Lakers, and who was it coming back? Oh, Markelle Fultz from Philadelphia to Phoenix. But Gambo's been reporting all week and for several weeks that the Suns don't have any interest in Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, right. But Lonzo Ball would be great.
Yeah, but that's why the Lakers won't give him up.
Finally, if Robert Sarver ever does hire an experienced basketball coach that costs a lot of money and actually has credibility among players, Stan Van Gundy won't be his name.
This is from The Jump. They're talking about the Sarver comments, and this was Stan Van's comments.
Well, I would say this. The question isn't, are Seattle and Las Vegas realistic options for the Suns? The question is, when's Robert Sarver going to bring an NBA team to Phoenix?
Oh!
Drop the mic, SVG. Yeah.
What do you think of that, funny man? How would you rate that joke, Jarrett?
Pretty good.
Now he's got to come up with another joke for tomorrow.
That's right. Finally, somebody pointed out that if they did move to Seattle, they could be the Seattle Black Hole Suns. Is that perfect? Song of the day, Jarrett, you got it? All right.
We really have to listen to Soundgarden. That song.
That's a good song.
Yeah. I agree with Vinny.
It's kind of, I like the chorus, but the rest of it, it's too hippy-dippy weird.
This is from The Athletic today, moving to college football, as we're on the brink of bowl season, which gets underway Saturday. 5 bowl games, including the Las Vegas Bowl, ASU taking on Fresno State. And let me just say this. I found it weird. Like, the Las Vegas Bowl people are emailing a lot of content of the activities leading up to the game. And Fresno State, all their players are wearing their jerseys, as are ASU players. Fresno State is posing for pictures in dark blue jerseys and ASU in black jerseys. Would they take a separate set of jerseys just to pose for pictures? Because you can't play navy blue on black, can you? That would be way too hard to discern.
Yeah. No.
I don't know.
No, you could.
These are the things that keep me up at night.
Yeah, I get it.
I really need a hobby. All right, this is from The Athletic this morning. There is a groundswell of support to expedite expansion before the end of college football playoffs' initial 12-year contract with ESPN in 2026, with many telling The Athletic they support an 8-team format. Quote, it's an appropriate thing to begin talking about, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby told The Athletic this week. There have been a number of informal conversations involving college football's most important power brokers and Larry Scott in recent weeks and months. The growing concern is that a system designed to nationalize the sport of college basketball, including a including a championship game that is being played at different venues and will be held in the Bay Area for the first time this season, is being undermined and regionalized with teams from the Southeast regularly playing each other. So it's a geographic thing. The prominence of the Southeastern teams, which we seemingly talk about every year, that it's very much a it seems like a regional tournament, these college football playoffs.
Yep.
Credit to those conferences like the ACC and SEC that have fed teams to the college football playoff, but it really does marginalize the interest nationwide.
There's no doubt about it. And then you look at this, you look at this trend in which you're talking about. 12 key players in college football blowing off bowl games. If you had an expanded playoff, how many would that change the way college football players think about it?
Yes.
I think
I was having this discussion with a buddy last night, and he brought up a great point. He said, when was the last time an NBA draft prospect ducked out of the NCAA tournament?
Great point.
never, I guess he didn't watch the Buffalo game last year.
Oh. I wrote about this recently, and you're right on the money. I think college football has resisted change because they've wanted to preserve the sanctity of student athletes. They really will tell you with a straight face that amateur sports matters to sports fans, that we as sports fans actually like watching kids who are not getting paid. They'll tell you that. They've told people that in courts of law, and it's a blatant lie. They've been able to get away with this because they're trying to protect the sanctity of money and how it flows and who it flows to. And their special status is a not-for-profit, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the point now, and Vinny, you're the one that first said this. It's not we're not that far away from key players taking off meaningless regular season games. Or maybe a good player.
They already have.
Yeah. Right. Joe Oliver. Ed Oliver. Whatever.
Al Oliver.
Al Oliver.
No, Joey
Oliver
Bosa.
Twist. Yeah, right.
Ed Oliver and Joey Bosa Nick Bosa both had injury issues.
Ed Oliver and his jacket on the sideline routine.
The guy
remember
from
that whole
South
thing?
South Carolina also, right? A couple years ago.
Jadeveon Clowney was kind of like the poster boy for all of this
but
get it started.
It's going to happen in mass now.
Because I think people told Jadeveon Clowney, you shouldn't play next year. You're jeopardizing your future.
Yeah.
You know how else you're jeopardizing your future? Playing football.
Yeah. No, dude, I am with you on this, and I'm with you on this to the extent where college football, they can't wait and do things at the pace that they've done things in the past. Because everything is changing. Their players are getting more cutthroat than they have ever been in their lives. And they're not buying into your BS about loyalty, the good old college spirit. They're seeing things a lot differently. So you need to go to an expanded playoff for a lot of reasons. The problem with college football isn't just that it has a 4-team playoff and a bunch of 35 other bowl games that nobody really cares about. Their problem is they have created a perception that the money flows in one direction, to the Power 5 conferences, and the whole playing field's rigged.
Mm-hmm.
That's their problem.
Well, here's another quote from a former Big 12 commissioner. Quote, we need to maintain interest in the regular season, a guy in support of an 8-team playoff. If you knew that your conference champion of the Pac-12 was going to get into the playoff, that manages to propel continued interest throughout the season. He's exactly right. And if you look at what a bracket could look like this year, The Athletic has that too. All right, here would be the matchups in an 8-team playoff this year proposed, okay? Top seed Alabama, SEC champion against 8 seed Washington. SEC champion against Pac-12 champion. Number 4, Georgia at large against Big 12 champ Oklahoma, the 5th seed. On the bottom half of the bracket, 3rd seed Notre Dame at large against 6th seeded Ohio State Big Ten champion. And then number 2, Clemson ACC champion against group of 5 participant UCF.
Like it.
Why would Georgia be 4 and Oklahoma be 5 when right now Oklahoma is 4?
I don't know.
Details.
But really outside of the Northeast, every region, if you just said West Coast, okay, Washington, West Coast, you still have your Southeast representation with Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, and Central Florida. Excuse me. You got Midwest, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Oklahoma kind of in that mix too.
Mm-hmm.
8 is better. And that point that the former Big 12 commissioner made about if you know your conference champion is getting in, do you think the Pac-12 championship game would have been attended by dozens of fans in Santa Clara if the winner was definitely going to the championship or going to the playoffs? No, people would have interest in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, you just follow the logic. It would be so unbelievable to follow a team through a playoff bracket because, like the Eagles, you see the magic that happens when a team gets hot. You know what I mean? Then you get familiar with the team and you get to see them play a second time.
Yeah.
A lot of people may have never seen Tua Tagovailoa or Jalen Hurts play before. Then you watch them in the bowl game, you go, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I get why they're so good.
And like Mike Leach says, 8-team playoff.
Now that makes my mouth feel good.
Well, doesn't it make you, as a parent sending a child to college, doesn't it make you a little bit weirded out that you can spend that much money for an institution of higher learning and they can't figure out how to pencil in an 18 playoff? Aren't you supposed to be smart there in academia world?
Oh, it's not a lack of smart.
No, it's not.
It's just...
Yeah. It's a lack of want to.
Yeah.
It's greed.
Exactly. All right, coming up, another reminder. Don't mess with Michael Jordan. We'll get into that and more next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata, song of the day. Brought to you by Vital 4 Men. Sometimes you want to hit rewind. Now you can with Vital 4 Men. Find out more at vital4men.com.
In my eyes, indisposed, in disguises, no one knows. Face.
Isn't there a lot of hippy dippy stuff?
You know
stuff
what?
To
I
this?
Love this song as I hear it again.
I mean, I like the
I
chorus.
Do, love this song.
Do you really?
Jarrett is of the age group where that is required by law to love this song.
My favorite kind of music is grunge music.
Is it really?
As often, I think, the music that's popular when you first get into music becomes your favorite kind of music.
Yeah,
and
I guess.
The early 90s is when I first got into music.
Yeah, I don't think so. Otherwise, I would still be listening to Nursery Rhyme.
You were really into the old Mother Goose?
Lullabies would be the first for everybody. That's the first time they ever get into music, and nobody listens to lullabies as an adult. You're a liar, dude.
You are kind of a liar.
Good day, sir.
Oh.
You are. Good day, sir.
You don't think that's true? Because your favorite music is like mid-80s. New wave kind of alternative.
But I was into other kinds of music before that.
Okay, I'm wrong, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, totally wrong. That's anyway today's song of the day. Somebody suggested this. If the Suns do end up in Seattle, the irony of having a team called the Seattle Black Hole Sun.
It's perfect, isn't it? And in Las Vegas, they don't even like the sun in Las Vegas. Well, they don't want people going out in the sun.
They don't even know the sun exists.
They don't even know it exists.
They're just going to build a whole dome over that city sooner or later.
That's right.
All right, I got to play. Well, I mentioned this. Michael Jordan last night, owner of the Charlotte Hornets. Say this about Robert Sarver. He's never hit a player before.
Yeah.
So last night, Jeremy Lamb of the Hornets hits a shot with 0.3 seconds to go to give the Hornets a lead. There's 0.3 seconds left. The game is not over.
No.
Players leave the bench, including Malik Monk. Cost him a technical foul. Nearly cost the Hornets the game. So Malik Monk comes back to the sideline, kind of shrugging his shoulders, and Jordan's giving him the business. And then he just reaches over and kind of gives him a little bit more, a little bit more than a love tap.
Wait, what's the matter with you?
Yeah. And I brought this up, and I'm not being overly sensitive, but jeez, it's almost impossible not to consider the reactions of the overly sensitive. What if that was another NBA owner that did that and not Michael
if
Jordan?
If it wasn't Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
And I'm not singling anybody out. I'm saying any other NBA owner that did the same thing.
You're right
player.
On the money, because if it was say if it were an owner the players' union didn't like very much, like Robert Sarver. Mm-hmm. Think about you're right, the headline with Jordan, it's okay. You know what I mean?
Because
Malik Monk is not going to kind of like push any effort to get his owner in trouble.
Oh, no. No, not at all.
Not when you're Michael Jordan. But it is kind of funny. And he kind of does it and kind of like, what's the matter with you? I just showed you how violent Michael Jordan could be. Just ask Steve Kerr.
do you remember the name?
I told you about how he once embarrassed me, put me in a headlock and dragged me across a practice court.
Then he gave you a noogie and stole your lunch money.
He did.
Do you remember the name Javon Quinterly? Jared does. He was a U of A commit, 5-star recruit. His name was dragged through the mud on a Emmanuel Book Richardson. Allegedly offered him $15,000 bribe to sign with Arizona, so he withdrew his commitment and he went to Villanova.
All right.
Well, he's not playing at Villanova very much. He played just 1 minute in Villanova's upset loss to Penn on Tuesday, 6th game in a row with either single-digit minutes or a DNP. After the game, Javon Quinterly posted to his Instagram story that Villanova was his second choice for a reason. He deleted the story. He's since completely deleted his verified Instagram account.
Wow.
Yes, of course Villanova was your second choice. They weren't paying up to $15,000 to secure your services.
Oh, my goodness.
We're not dumb.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, we got to end with this today, okay?
Okay.
Chargers and Chiefs tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a subject. I almost feel bad playing this, even though it is making fun of Stephen A. Smith. I almost feel bad playing it because it just goes to show you how hard it is to keep abreast of everything, especially for somebody like Stephen A. Smith, who is on the air in some form for 19 out of every 24
That's
hours.
Good point.
Here he is offering his thoughts on the...
Real quick, so the setup is, he says the key... Spencer Ware. Watch out for Spencer Ware. And then this is after that.
Okay. In tonight's game between the Chargers and Chiefs. Well, let me start this over.
I'm keeping my eyes on this matchup right here.
Spencer
you got
Ware
your
is
linebacker.
Out.
I'm sorry?
Spencer Ware is out.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I forgot. I'm sorry,
out
Max.
With
I'm
a foot.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. He is out. But I'm thinking Tyreek Hill. I'm thinking Patrick Mahomes. I'm also looking at the San Diego Chargers on offense, and I'm thinking about Hunter Henry and the way that he's played this year and as effective as he's been. He's going up against Derek Johnson, and I got to keep my eyes on that because I'm looking at it from the standpoint. Listen, here's where I'm at with all of this. At the end of the day, I'm looking at Patrick Mahomes. I'm looking at.
Okay, so that's the meat of it. If you could see the faces of Teddy Bruschi, who was on that segment, and Max Kellerman giving the, what the hell is he talking about? That was after he called him San Diego. That's a mistake everybody makes.
Yeah.
Hunter Henry, I've been thinking about how he's been playing this year. Then you're hallucinating because Hunter Henry's been hurt all year, hasn't played it down. The matchup against Derek Johnson of the Chiefs, he doesn't play for the Chiefs. He plays for the Raiders.
That's unbelievable.
That's Francesa-like right there.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't it amazing?
You have to watch the video,
isn't
though.
It amazing, though, how heated the take can be built on a pyramid of nothing, on logic that isn't even fact?
Yeah.
Yet you can get...
I can't believe that I'm having this discussion with you. I just can't believe this.
That is nuts.
All right, did you hear about the trade that went down in the major leagues yesterday? The Washington Nationals sent Tanner Roark to Cincinnati for Tanner Rainey in a trade of right-handed pitchers.
Get out of here.
There's been 5 players in Major League Baseball history with the first name Tanner.
Chuck Tanner.
And 2 of them were...
Tanner from the Bad News Bears. All right,
2 of them were traded for each other.
That's insane. I've never heard that before. A Tanner traded for a Tanner. Self Tanner.
DJ Tanner. From Full House. Remember Full House?
Fake Tanner.
Remember Kimmy Gibbler?
Dude, Becky Katsopoulos was hot.
All right, thanks to Mike Neely, Mark Schlereth for joining us. Thanks to you for putting up with our shenanigans. As always, we appreciate it.
Yeah.
Burns and Gambo.
Great job, Benny.
Are up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We'll talk to you tomorrow.